Living Hope Assembly of God.
We'll grab your Bible and let's go to the second book of Charles. No, it's just like everybody like, what? That guy's weird. No, let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verses 46 through 52. 46 through 52. You'll stand for the reading of God's word. That'll be awesome. How many glad to be here today? Amen. I am. We came off of a really awesome time last week. Baptized 7 people, which is amazing. Amen. Can you believe it? Amen. I hope and pray that we baptize at least 21 people this year. Somebody else probably got a little bit more faith than me. 21 is within my scope, I think. The Bible says, then they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat along the way begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many ordered him to keep silent, but he cried out even more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. So they called the blind man, saying, be of good comfort, rise, he is calling you. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Father, today be glorified, Lord, as we dive into this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today, if you're taking notes, I want to give you a title, The Power of Persistence. The Power of Persistence. The Power of Persistence. The passage in Matthew mentions 2 blind men. Unlike Mark and Luke, they only talk about one. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to unravel that, but just to give you a quick understanding, there's no discrepancy within the text. It's just that we notice that Matthew identified 2, but the focus is truly on 1. And we know that the focus is on blind Bartimaeus. Whether if there was multiple men or women, whoever was healed that day from being blind or whatever they were healed from, there's no discrepancy. They all are proving the fact that Jesus healed a blind man that day. And they chose to pick it out and depict it that way. It's kind of like if you and I were standing out on the street and we both had a chance to see a wreck. You might describe it a little bit different than I described it. You might see something that I didn't see. You might focus on something that I quite didn't focus on. And that's okay. That is okay. There's no discrepancy within that. So let's move on this morning. This morning, I want to talk briefly about, again, the power of persistence. In this story, we see a picture of a man who was without sight, who heard about Jesus and cried out for mercy. Too often, we hear salvation described in a light way, and we get the idea that it's just turning over a new leaf. But when salvation truly, truly touches the heart of humanity, there is a drastic change, a radical change a new creature is being born. And today in our text, a blind man who could not see received his sight. And we see in Jesus' ministry, when Jesus would touch an individual, not only did this blind man receive his sight, but we see a lunatic in Scripture made sane. A little girl who had died brought back to life. A dead man, Lazarus, who was given life. I promise you today, when Jesus touched your life, it's going to be something radical and it's going to be something supernatural. It's not going to be something that's soft and fluffy and people have to wonder about. When Christ has truly touched your life, people will know about it. We talked about the Samaritan lady that Jesus met at the well. We see that this lady had an encounter with the risen Savior, the Christ. And we know that he hadn't risen yet, but we know he is the risen Savior. My point being is that when she encountered God, her life was changed for eternity. Here, I believe we see salvation shown as a blind man in our text is given sight. There are several different stories in the Scriptures where blind men are healed. Each time it is different. I believe this is so we might understand the absolute sovereignty of God. In essence, God can do whatever God desires to do, whenever he want to do it, to whom he want to do it to. He is God. Who can stop him? Who is greater than him? No one. Today we want to look at this passage of Scripture, and just for a moment, I want to talk about this man for a moment. The first verse we looked at in 46 tells us two things about the person that we're speaking about. The first thing that we notice that he is blind and that he is a beggar. He is blind and he is a beggar. He cannot see. He is unable to see. All of his life, he's having to feel his way around. And I want to stop for a moment. How many times, especially before Christ, were we actually in the dark, feeling our way around, trying to figure things out on our own, trying to make things happen on our own, apart from God? It's scary. It's really scary that we lived our lives like that pre-Christ. We lived in such a way that we did life on our own. We didn't have God to lead and to guide us. And if you're like me, I made so many bad mistakes and had many bad choices that I had to pay for over and over again, all because I was spiritually blind and could not see. I don't know about you, but if I was like that man, it would be a scary thing to have lost my sight. Can you imagine, after being able to see, you lose your sight? You have to have somebody else to carry you around. This is the condition that God used to describe you and I before we knew Christ Jesus, our Lord. We were without sight. We could see nothing of value in life. And to think about it, if you were blind after being able to see, or not being able to see at all, born blind, can you imagine never seeing the beauty of God's creation ever? Your loved ones' faces, you'll never be able to look upon. That's a scary place to be. And here in our text, blind Bartimaeus was that man. And I just want to read to you an article about a lady by the name of Kim Tyndale. And the title of the article is "The Challenges in Going Blind and Learning to live again. She says, perhaps there is nothing more disorienting than losing your sight. The world is turned upside down. The independence once taken for granted is shattered and falls to the floor. One's previous existence seems as distant as another life. The problem is that it isn't one or two things that need to be relearned. It's everything. She said, going to the fridge to get a glass of milk used to be something I could do half asleep. After I lost my vision, it became a multi-step process, and any error meant I found myself standing lost in a house I'd lived in for years. She said, I felt like my opportunities had become extremely limited and that everything I wanted to do was made impossible because I could no longer see. Is this what the rest of my life is going to be like? She said, I wondered. It is one thing to be blind, but it is another thing to be blind and poor. If you look at the life of blind Bartimaeus, it seemed like all of the cards were stacked against him. Not only was he blind, but he was poor. So we see within our text that blind Bartimaeus had to depend upon the charities of others. He had to beg for his provision. He probably had no friends of which he could turn for help. A blind beggar's friends are others that have similar problems. There may have been other beggars that had different infirmities as well that were right there with him. So to go to his friends would have been something that just would have been absurd or silly. He had no one there with him. And so today we see within our text that blind Bartimaeus was desperate. He was desperate. And every morning, somebody probably had to help Bartimaeus to get to the place where he would spend his day begging, waiting for an opportunity to get food, waiting for handouts. His life seemed hopeless. Have you ever been at a place where it seemed like life was hopeless and you didn't know which way to turn? And it was like blind Bartimaeus, that better for him was never going to come. I'm trying to paint a picture today that if we come to realize, we need to come to realize our need for God. Are you following me this morning? On this day, he hears the commotion of the crowd. He hears the rustling, and no doubt he may have asked, what's going on? And somebody may have said, man, this is Jesus. This man Jesus, he's a miracle worker. He's a healer. And blind Bartimaeus, I can only imagine if I was desperate like blind Bartimaeus, I could only imagine how I would feel in that moment. I could only imagine, you mean a healer is coming through? Maybe this is my chance. Maybe this is my opportunity. What is happening in the 21st century church where there is no desperation to meet with God? What's happening within the church where we don't see a need or a dependency upon God? We should be desperate for him, just not at the point of salvation, but we should be desperate for him every single day of our lives. Understanding where you come from. Understanding where I come from. Listen, I don't care if you lived all of your life in a mansion or if you lived all of your life in a cardboard box. The reality is this, we all need Jesus. I talked about reading through the Old Testament, and for many people, reading through the Old Testament, it's like, man, oh, wow, this is overwhelming, the dread and all of the problems that we see. And we have this picture, if you're not careful, of God, kind of like, man, God, man, wow, you didn't spare anybody. You killed just about everybody that sinned in every moment, every second. It's almost like running a marathon reading through the Old Testament. You're tired. You're like, man, wow, I'm exhausted. Not just from all the reading, but just wondering, can I measure up? Can I live up to the requirements of this God? The answer is no, you can't. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ comes on the scene. What is the first thing that you want after you run a marathon? It's a big glass of water to gulp down. Jesus is that glass of water that will refresh us. Thank God for Jesus Christ, that He is the fulfillment of the law, and He is the living water. He is the living water. He is the bread of life. Blind Bartimaeus had a tiny thread of hope to grow within him. Again, I thank God for the church, because the church should be a place where individuals find hope. But the church is not just in here. The church is mobile. That's why we should speak out loud whenever the Spirit of God is using us. Don't leave this place thinking that you're supposed to keep it within. Leave this place knowing that there are blind Bartimaeuses all over the city of Blair. There are blind Bartimaeuses all over the city of Omaha and the surrounding area. We have to be Christ to people in this world. Next thing I want you to notice is this man's petition. Says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We see he is crying out to Jesus. And I want to ask you a question. In the hearts and minds of many people that may darken the doors of our church, that we may see, and people we see out in the community as less likely candidates for God to move in their life, might be the prime person that God might use. Here we have blind Bartimaeus. For many people that were standing around that day, they might have gotten in their mind that blind Bartimaeus, man, who does he think he is? You're no more than a blind beggar. Who are you yelling at? Why are you yelling at this good teacher? Why are you yelling at this rabbi? Why are you even talking to him? And that's how, if we're not careful, we talked about it in Sunday school. Every single one of us have different kinds of prejudices within us. And we have to be careful that our prejudices don't hinder us from doing what God has asked us to do. If you're not careful, your prejudices will cause a wall to come up before you. And you won't speak to people that the Spirit is pushing you to speak to. You won't move out when God is saying move out. And we have to be careful that we don't fall into that category. But we see again, blind Bartimaeus was desperate. He felt overlooked and he was ridiculed within our text. We see that they were telling him to be quiet. One of the disciples, if you will, go with me for a moment, may have heard him first, a voice crying out. They looked about to see who this man was crying out. Maybe one of the priests or some wealthy person who is very important. And they probably, in that moment, said, dude, you're here every single day. You're causing commotion every single day. You're out here begging every single day. You're on a corner down in Omaha with your sign begging for food and provisions every single day. Well, I heard about that. I've learned that I'm not going to let somebody run over me. I'm not going to give them anything. I'm just going to keep driving. I'm going to roll my window up. I'm going to turn my head and act like I don't see them because I'm not going to give them anything because they're just out there. They need to get a job. And we roll on. Guilty. Has the Spirit ever asked you to stop? Has the Spirit ever said that person is broken? Yeah, I know their physical ailment, they're blind, but there's a spiritual side as well. Not only was blind, he was a blind man, but he was a beggar, ragged and dirty, and had no sight. Where's the blind Bartimaeus within your community? Is it your neighbor? Is it your friend? Maybe it's a family member. See, blind Bartimaeus, in actuality, is in every one of our lives. He's not really out there, but he's really right here. And just like Christ, he set an example that day. When I am so sure that there was more than just Christ's religious leader that had passed through there that day. I am sure there was more. There had been more than one opportunity for blind Bartimaeus to be ministered to. But this day, Christ ministered to him. And he said, listen to what blind Bartimaeus said to him. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The title he used for Christ, Son of David, had a significant meaning. The Messiah, long expected by the people of Israel, was to come through the lineage of David. Bartimaeus may have been familiar with that scripture in Isaiah 35:5, where it says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. It was in this moment that blind Bartimaeus almost had this understanding out of desperation. And when he called him over, he spoke of him as being the Messiah. He didn't understand him as being Jesus, the man from Nazareth, because that talked about his earthly name. But this talked about his divine name. He is Jesus, the Son of David, the one that has been prophesied about, the one that's going to heal the sick and carry the infirmities of humanity. He was desperate, but he understood in that moment his need for change. We do not know what was in the mind of the blind beggar, except we know his desire to see. This blind beggar knew he must cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Let's talk about the call. When he cried out to Jesus, what did Jesus do? He stood still. When a shepherd had sheep out in a pasture, and when the sheep would cry out, the shepherd would go and see what is wrong with the sheep. Whatever you're going through in your life, gang, understand one thing. You need to learn to cry out. We see that Jesus stood still when this man cried out. Jesus did not keep walking. He stopped in his tracks. The Bible says in Luke 15:1-7, if you'll turn there this morning, Luke 15, 1 through 7. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to listen to Jesus. So the Pharisees and scribes began to grumble. This man welcomes sinners and eat with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the pasture and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he rejoices, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, comes home and calls together his friends and neighbors to tell them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous ones who do not need to repent. We see this blind man in our text. He's blind and he stops Jesus in his tracks. And Jesus calls this man over to himself. And we see a miracle taking place in this man's life. My point today is that, man, again, we have to get to a place where we're desperate and we cannot be content where we're at. I don't know about you, but I don't only need Jesus today, but I need Jesus tomorrow. I need Jesus every single day. The Bible says, for those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. And I want you to notice something within our text. Look at how this blind man came to Jesus. The Bible tells us to throw off, to let go of the weight and the sin that so easily beset us. It didn't say that God was going to come and rip it off of you. It says that Paul says you let go of the weight and the sin that so easily beset you. Listen to what happened in our text. The Bible says that this man, this blind man, threw aside his garment. You have to understand within context, this was a blind man. He was blind and he was poor all at the same time. Even if you could see, the men of that day wore outer garments and that garment would get dirty. Can you imagine how dirty this man was? And this man threw off his garment to go to Jesus. Let go of the weight and the sin that so easily beset us and run this race with patience. If you have weights and sins today, the altar is open. Whatever is hindering you, the same Savior that opened the blind eyes and cast out the demon of the men in the Bible days is the same man that is alive, that is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for the saints. Listen, Jesus Christ is alive. And he is well, he is not dead. Can I tell you again? He rose again on the third day, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, making intercession for the saints. Listen, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within you. Are you following me, church? Listen, on this day, blind Bartimaeus recognized something. I want to get over there. I don't know what happened in the middle of them saying, listen, this is Jesus of Nazareth. This is Joseph and Mary's son, the carpenter down the street. He's really nobody of significance. He is just another rabbi that's passing through. Somewhere in the middle of that, it's almost like the Spirit spoke to him. The Bible says, how are we going to be drawn except the Spirit draws us? Something happened in that moment in blind Bartimaeus. He didn't recognize him as Joseph's son. He recognized him as the son of David, the Christ, the coming Messiah, the King of glory, the one that we've been waiting for, like the lady at the well. It was fulfilled in his heart. How is it that people who seem to be at the most, at a place of being on the bottom in life. And then in comparison to many of us who've been in church for a number of years, how is it that they can quickly see Christ better than we can in a lot of situations? How is that? I've seen it happen time and time again. I have seen people who only have been born again for a little while, and they step inside of the church versus people who've been in church for a number of years. Then all of a sudden, you see this person rise up out of the woodwork. They are in love with Jesus. They're reading their Bibles like crazy. They're praying like crazy. I have to believe that they're just like blind Bartimaeus. They understood and understand where God brought them from, and they have tasted of the sweetness of God, and they don't want to lose that, so they're holding on to that with everything that is inside of them. When you come to a realization where God has brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, I don't know about you, but I don't want to dwell in darkness any longer. I want to walk in the light of his glory, to behold his majesty. Listen, I want to be what he has called me to be. He was a beggar. He knew how to beg. I'm going to say it again. This was a beggar. He knew how to beg. In essence, that was his profession. He was good at it. Some things you can learn by experience. Some things are taught. In this man's situation, he was forced into begging. Life is not fair. Sometimes you're dealt a bad hand, but the same thing that the enemy meant for evil, God worked out for his good. Listen, his profession, because he was blind, because he had an ailment in his body, caused him to beg, and he became very good at it. Listen, I promise you, God is able to take your messed up life and turn it around. I promise God is able to make your bad situation good. He's able to give you beauty for your ashes. Don't let the devil tell you that life is over. We see blind Bartimaeus. He is blind. He cannot see. But one thing he has going for him, he knows how to beg. He knows how to beg. He came to Christ, as we all did, as a beggar. He knew that Jesus did not have to even hear him. But if he would hear him, he could beg for his sight. How desperate are you to get in the presence of God? How desperate are you when you come to the house of God to say, God, listen, I didn't do this at home all week, but I'm not going to let this chance get past me today. I am going to fall on my face. I am going to surrender. I am going to give it over to you. I am tired of fighting this. I am tired of walking around here blind. I want to see. I need clarity. I need focus. And the only way I'm going to get it, unless I have an encounter with the risen Savior. Jesus, ask a question. Jesus, ask a question. Kind of like, again, the Samaritan lady in Sunday school. Jesus said, go and get your husband. I don't have a husband. He said, you answered right. Today in our text, Jesus said to this blind man, what do you want from me? Jesus is smarter than that, right? Jesus could tell that this man was blind. Jesus could tell that he was blind. I firmly believe that sometimes, in order to receive from God, we got to ourselves convince ourselves and speak it out. It's kind of like AA. You come in and you have to say this little speech or whatever. I am such and such. And you go down the spiel. I think there's some truth to that. I think sometimes we just need to spell it out. We need to speak it out. You may not have to in here, and you, that's where the confession becomes good for the soul, meaning that you can speak it out to somebody and say, man, I'm struggling this week. That's where accountability comes into play. People who don't have healthy accountability are people who hold on to bad habits. I promise you, life is tough, and we need somebody else that's walking through this with us at times for those difficult situations. I know we have the Spirit of God. I understand that. But God created us to be sociable creatures. We need each other. We need each other. What do you want from me? If you had one chance to ask God for anything, what would it be? I have to believe if it had been somebody else in the place of blind Bartimaeus, I don't know, maybe they would have asked for a lost family member, a lost son, a lost daughter, a lost child. Somebody else probably would have said, man, I'm low on funds. My bills are due this week. I need this, God. I desperately need this, God. Somebody might say, man, I have this pain in my body, this and that. The list could go on and on. Blind Bartimaeus said, I want my sight. See, but every single one of us that are here today, church, we have something in our life that we could give to God. And Jesus is standing here and he is saying, spiritually speaking, right now, what do you want from me? Many of us, we're more comfortable just sitting along the way. See, some of us, we have gotten used to begging. Some of us, we have gotten used to complacency. Some of us, we have gotten used to the thing that is holding us down, and it is called normal. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to be. This is how I will always be. Nothing's going to ever change. Nobody ever tried to help me. I got to make my own way. And so we sit along the way. And we watch time go by. And how many times have we sat inside of a church service knowing that we're filled with something that is hindering us in our walk with God? We have overdosed ourselves with grace. And we have no more reverence and fear of a holy God. This day, we recognize him as Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. For blind Bartimaeus, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. Isaiah 42 and 7 says, you will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing them, releasing those who sit in dungeons. Prophetic about Christ. Don Stamps, commentator of the Fire Bible, says, by his death, which paid the complete penalty for our sin, and the Holy Spirit's power, the Messiah would free all who believed in him from spiritual darkness of sin and guilt and release them from Satan's power. We know faith is not able to save, but a channel through which we receive salvation or justification. One must first have life. By the grace through faith, we also receive sight. We have faith because we are saved, not in any other order. We're trusting God today. 1 John 5 and 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. In our close today, the last thing I want to talk about, this man's appreciation. He appreciated his salvation. Sometimes he appreciated his sight being given back to him. Sometimes we we don't show any appreciation. We're not really thankful. Sometimes we have this entitlement mentality as though we deserve it. But we don't deserve anything. Jesus said unto him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. He followed Jesus on the way. Jesus said, "Go your way," but he followed Jesus on the way. Those in whom God has done a work of grace will desire to follow Jesus. Did you hear that? Those who understand and know that God has done a work in them would desire to follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but I desire to follow Jesus. I desire to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. I want you to understand today, the next thing he did, he glorified God. How do you glorify God with your life? What do you do after you realize the hand of God moving in your life? How about this? What do you do when it doesn't seem like God is moving in your life? See, because it's not good, it's not healthy for you to glorify him in this moment when things are well. And then not glorify him when things are bad. We need to glorify God in all things. Not just in some things, but in all things. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. This man was grateful because he saw his need. He felt hopeless. Salvation is a package in that it does not come with a command to influence. It comes with a command to influence others for the kingdom of God. Again, salvation is a package. And it comes with the influence, with the command to influence others with the kingdom of God. Today, are you grateful as we get ready to stand and let you all go home? You'll stand this morning. I want to say that no man is an island to himself. Your life, my life was saved to touch the life of our children, our friends, and our relatives, and even our enemies. One of the greatest enemies of ours is not the people that we see, but it is the devil. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6, but I'm just going to read verse 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Again, one of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to veil the eyes of humanity so that they cannot see the truth of God's word that is right before them. And therefore, they cannot see, so they will not believe. He veils their eyes so that they cannot see. And since they cannot see, they will not believe. It is our job as the body of Christ to be persistent with how we serve God, how we approach God, and how we share God. This man, blind Bartimaeus, man, he was persistent. He didn't give up. They said, "Be quiet." He was like, "Who do you think you are? I'm not going to be quiet. Who are you to tell me to be quiet? I'm desperate. I'm blind. What do I have to lose?" We live in a world where it is so messed up right now. It is utterly evil. I have to ask the question, what do you have to lose? I dare to say, if we don't say anything, we have everything to lose. It's time that we stop sitting along the way. It's time that we cry out to the Savior for our own lives, for our communities, and for our city, and for our nation, and the surrounding areas, wherever. I promise you, when you cry out, He will stop. He will stop. And He will stand still, and He will call you unto Himself.
Living Hope Assembly of God.